Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Glory to God. He is a good, good, good Father. He does good things for us, and He just doesn't stop. You know why? Because He can't. He can't. He's good. He doesn't do good. He is good, so He does good. You know, some people do good to try to be good. He be good, so He do good. Amen? And that's just, it's as simple as that. We're not waiting for God to get good or be happy. He wakes up every day. He doesn't wake up. He doesn't sleep. He's happy every day. He's happy all the time. Right? You messed up. He's still happy. Right? He's not happy with what you did, but he's still happy. Why? He's counting on something better. He's a faith God. He had faith that we would come to him while we were his enemies. While we were fighting against him, he had faith that we would come to him. Glory to God. He's a good God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I would say he pursued me. He did pursue me. And I'm thankful, and I'm thankful that I stopped long enough to be caught. Amen. And find out just how good he is. Open your Bibles to John 15. We were in this last time I spoke, and we're going to kind of go back in a similar direction, but a little different. Similar but different. That's like an oxymoron, but different, right? It's like a nice tie. They're nice to somebody, aren't they? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. John 15, the verses we started in last time were in verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you, so have I loved you. And then he says, continue, which is the same word as abide. Continue, remain, it's a given place. You know, when we stay in God's love, we're not just acting, we're actually residing within a place. God's love is a place, a state of being. It's somewhere that we can actually stay in. And actually one of the words is hold fast and stay there. And I think, you know, we like to walk in and out because we want to love sometimes, and then sometimes we don't, right? And so sometimes we wake up and we don't feel like loving, and so we don't abide, right? We go, Lord, I'm just going to go over here, right? And see, he talks about us being a branch. He says his Father's the husbandman, he's the true vine, and we are a branch. And if we're a branch, then, and he says, as he says, I've followed the Father's commands because I love him. Follow my commands because you love me. And what he's saying is, he said, I get nourished from the Father. You get nourished from me. What the Father's growing, you will grow because it'll come through me. And so when you're in the vine, then your ability comes from the vine. Right? Now, you guys are looking at me funny. That's God-given ability. That's why he says, remain in my love. Why? Because the ability given through the vine is so much greater than what you had before you were the new creature you are. When we decided to abide in him, when we became an in him, how many in hims do I have in here? And in him is a good place to be. And when we abide in him, we stay and remain in that place. Then we stay and remain in a place where our ability is increased. What we do, how we react, how we act. You know, it should change the way we act. Right? If it doesn't change the way you act, you might want to see if you're hooked to the right vine. Right? Because it will change the way you act. And then it will change the way you react. And in doing these, when we abide and we're the branch, you know, how many people have trees and like at the top of it, it's nice and green, but then there's these branches that are coming off of it that don't have any green on them at all. They're dead. You know, the church looks like that sometimes. You're still hooked to the tree, but you're not drawing any nourishment from the vine. You want to allow yourself to not just to the tree. You want to abide in the tree. You want to live in the tree. You want to get your life from the tree. Because you could be on the tree and be dead. Right? If you're not getting your life from the vine, you're not getting any life. You're getting death. Amen? And eventually you'll fall off. In my yard, and I had to pick you up. And I'm not good at that. You know, branches fall in my yard, they may stay there a really long time. Right? Because I really don't care. I think maybe some of the neighbors do, but I don't. You know, I like that rugged look, the old rugged look in the yard. It's nice. It's a good look. Right? You don't need all this pristine grass and stuff growing out of your rocks. Let your rocks be. Right? Let your rocks be. Now I got a whole hillside that I don't have to do nothing to. Right? People say, why don't you plant grass on that? Because you'd have to mow it. Every place, let me give you guys some clues here. Any place you plant grass, and if you water it, it'll grow. And if it grow, you got to mow. That's my motto. If it grow, you got to mow. So I don't want nothing to grow. I got some real fine people that come every 2 weeks and mow the little bit of grass I do have. How do we get all the way over there? If we abide in His love, if we abide in the vine, then we're nourished by Him. And when you become nourished by Him, He's not talking to one person in this verse. He's talking to His people. How many of His people I got in here? So if I'm abiding in the vine and you're abiding in the vine, we're all abiding in the same place at the same time, doing the same things with the same ability. Amen? Every one of us, because we're abiding in the vine, abiding in Him, we will have the same ability. We can do the same things. Look at Psalm 133. We'll take this in a different direction. Psalm 133. Verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to abide together in unity. If I'm abiding in the vine and I'm getting nourished from God's love, and I'm getting, because that love's coming through Jesus and it's coming to me, and now I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature because, why? Because where I was getting nourished from the world before, my flesh was the nourishment I got. Right, and now I'm a new creature in Him, and if we're all dwelling together in unity, we're all dwelling together, then we're doing the same thing, we're thinking the same thing, we're acting the same way. And what's important about that is not what you do in church, because so many times in church, this is like visiting the maternity ward in the hospital, right? When you visit the maternity ward in the hospital, it's a happy place. Everybody's looking through the window and smiling, and that's a happy place. That's what church is like. Go out into the world where it's not happy and be happy. Go out into the world where it's not kind and be kind. Don't act kind. Don't put on a front. Don't be kind. That's what he says. He says, if you follow my commands, you love me. Remain in this love. What's he saying? Do what I say because you love me, and then remain that way. Stay that way. Stay that way. Don't come in and out. Don't vacillate between love and hate. Don't go flesh. And I'm going to flesh out today. Right? You know, I heard somebody talking yesterday. He said, I don't get angry very much, but when they do this, and I'm sitting there listening to him, the Lord says, he gets angry a lot. Why? Because if you will yield to your flesh, it will try to get you to yield as often as you will. Yeah. Right? And people say, well, sometimes you just got to yell to get your way. No, you don't. First of all, why do you get your way? Why do you get your way? Well, this, I want what I paid for. Why? Why can't you just be nice? Get what you didn't pay for a minute. Come on. Right? I'm afraid if some of you got what you paid for, you wouldn't like it. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Right? I don't want much of what I paid for. Right? I want everything he paid for. All right? Trying to get your way and walking out of love, they're this far, and they're getting further and further. They are as far as from the east is from the west. Right? If you have to have your way, you will not walk in love. Well, it's quiet.
That's good.
Right? We don't want to be that way, because that's why there's offense in the church. In the actual church, there's offense. You know one place there should never be offense? In the church. Why? Because if I'm walking in love and you're walking in love, I can't do anything that would upset you, and you can't do anything that would upset me. Right? It would be an impossibility. We were talking about, I won't even say who we were talking about, but we were talking about some people that might get married one day, and talking about some of the differences that they face. And I said, well, it's anything that love can't overcome, you should look at before you get married. Right? But if love's involved, we were specifically talking about a closet. And one side couldn't live with the closet the way it was, and the other side probably didn't want to clean the closet. Right? I said, well, love wouldn't say anything to the one that doesn't clean the closet, and love would clean the closet. So both got their way by acting in love. Amen? And that's that. We don't have to force love. We don't have to push to cause things to come about in such a way that it glorifies God. The things we do, if we abide in Him, we abide as His. If you're in Him, you're abiding as His, and all the characteristics in you are now what you got from the vine, from Him. So as you abide in love and you remain in love, you begin to be able to answer questions in such a way that people don't get aggravated. Right? And you might even preface them by saying, if I say this wrong, just let me know. Because I'm not trying to upset you. I could miss it, but let me say this. And you're not always looking for somebody doing something wrong. Right? Did you know that's not our job? It's not our job to see what's wrong in the world. It's not. It's our job to pray for the world. If you're always looking for what's wrong, well, that's how you know what to pray for. No, they were messed up before you ever started praying. How many were messed up before you knew Jesus? How many have messed up since you know Jesus? You just ain't messed up anymore. You've messed up, but you ain't messed up. Amen? So we don't need to watch. And it's like this. People say, come over to somebody, I saw you looking at that stuff on your phone. And somebody comes up behind that person and says, I saw you judging somebody answering that. And then somebody comes up behind them and I saw you getting on to those people who were judging those people that were getting on to them. And where does that line stop? Right? You know where it stops if you walk in love? Hey, brother, I love you. If there's anything I can ever do for you, man, get with me. You don't even have to mention that you saw him looking at his phone. Right? We don't need to bring forth the sin. Right? Jesus brought the answer. The answer just happened to enlighten, manifest the sin. Amen? And that's what we're here for. We're here to bring resolve, to bring answers, to bring an atmosphere where change can happen. Jesus came so that we could be somebody that we weren't. So we could be His, so that the characteristics and the quality of God that flow through the vine flow through us. And now we're a new creature. Amen. Look at Ephesians. It's in Ephesians. Well, I just went way far past my notes, didn't I? Ephesians 4. And these are the things that we can do because we walk in love. As we walk in the love and abide in the vine, our abilities as a new creation in Him, right? Isn't that what it says in Corinthians? We're a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. See, there's still an old model, though, and there's a new model. And the old model has standard equipment, right? Look at Ephesians 4:24. We'll see what the standard equipment is in the old model. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is the new man. How many righteous men? I have men and women. Man's the species, right? You're all a man. A man. Amen? Put on, and then verse 25. Wherefore, putting away, here's some of the standard equipment on the old model. You lie.
Yeah, right.
Next verse. You get angry and you hold a grudge. These are standard equipment. If you're a car salesman, you say, here, you can have this old model and you have this new time. In this old model, now, you know that we give you lying. And you can get some angry with vengeance. Next verse. And this model will always give place to the devil. It always wants the enemy to have his way. So if you can have this model though. Next verse. And they steal. This model of human, it just steals. That's what it does. Next verse. It tears people down with its words. Next verse. And it will not work with the Holy Spirit. How many know your flesh will not work with it doesn't work with it. It doesn't work around it. It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit and your flesh are contrary to one another. Romans 8 tells us that. Amen. And the next verse. Also standard with this is bitterness and wrath. You can have all these. They are standard. You don't even have to ask for them. We don't have to add them on to you. They come with your body of flesh. Right? Bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking. You can get all these. You had all these. Every person in here had these. Had them. Amen?
Yeah.
Next verse. Go back to 25. Or we got the new model who speaks truth with his neighbor.
Amen.
Glory to God. Next verse. He's angry. He'll get angry every now and then, but he won't sin. He won't hold a grudge. He'll love you. He never gives place to the devil. This model won't give place to the devil. He doesn't steal. In fact, he works. Why does he work? He works so he can give. This is standard equipment on the new man of Christ. Standard equipment on the new man of Christ. Verse 29, he won't talk corrupt. His mouth only is used for good and edifies people and builds them up. Verse 30, he'll never grieve the Holy Spirit. This model is standard with the Holy Spirit. It comes with the Holy Spirit. It's inside it in this standard. It's a standard equipment in this model. Amen? You guys understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? There's things that you can get on a car. If you buy a car, that they just come with it from the factory. When you're a new man, these just come with you. You know, people say, well, I got to learn to love. You don't have to learn to love. You got to learn to use your love.
Yeah.
The love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to learn to love. You have to learn to use your love. Your love, the love of God is in you, or you're the dead branch sitting on the tree. Connect back up. Let it flow through and to you and then flow out. Then it bears fruit. And what kind of fruit does it bear? The fruit that remains. Everlasting fruit. The kind of fruit that will change somebody's life. The kind of fruit that will help people. The kind of fruit. It helps all these things. Go back to the verse we're at. This model, never. It has no bitterness, no wrath, no anger. None of these are standard on this model. Next verse. Standard on this model is kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness. All these are standard in you, in me. And God created us to have these towards one another first. If you can't have these towards one another, if you can't forgive your brother and your sister, if you can't love in the body of Christ, you will not love outside the body of Christ. So, you just don't know how they are. We just don't get along. I love them, but I don't like them. Well, that sounds like not love. Now, you guys are going to have to judge that for yourself. But when somebody says, I just don't like them, that sounds a little bit like not love. Unlove, not lovely, unlovingness. What other word you want for it? None of those are words, but they are now. That's what those kind of things sound like. But God created us to work together in Him, and that we all grasp this love. And as we grasp it, we begin to walk in it together. That's why He said how beautiful it is when brethren dwell in unity together in one place. When we get a hold and abide in Him together. When I abide in Him, you abide in Him, we're all abiding in Him. We're all walking in love. We're walking in the light. We're not angry. And people say, what is wrong with those people? I don't know. They all go to that church over there, though. They're just weird. They're never unhappy. You know, if that's weird, good. Let's get weirder. Let's let our weirdness get so bad that people just, man, the angry people just can't be around us anymore without they get unangry all of a sudden. But I got all kind of weird words coming today. Right? But we need to be that peculiar. That's what's peculiar about it. It's not that we have these things, it's that we use them. You know, there's too much time spent walking in the world while we could be walking in Christ, abiding outside the vine when we could be nourished through His love, through His goodness, through His kindness. The nourishment that He gives is a nourishment that lasts, and it gives lasting fruit. Amen? And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for something in you that lasts and something that you give that lasts. The vine works through Jesus. Jesus works through you. You work through Jesus. Amen? And as we love that way, we begin to change. As we learn that way, that's what Paul prayed. Look at Ephesians again in 3. Ephesians 3, the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 3. His prayer was that God would strengthen us in our inner man. Why? So that we could receive what He's getting ready to pray. Right? You got to be strong. Why? Because you got to use all this. You know, you got to have a strong spirit, because your flesh don't want to do this. Jesus didn't say the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak for no reason. Flesh is weak. Amen. And if you'll let it go, it'll do everything it wants to, and none of it good. Spirit, however, it'll do good things. It'll do quality things. It will do things that bring life and peace. It will do things that build people up, bring them to another level. So when we're strong in our spirit, he says in verse 17, that Christ may inhabit, Christ may permanently reside. That's a good way to have it. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How does he permanently reside in your heart? By faith. You're going to need faith. That's how he resides in your heart. Why do you got to have a strong spirit? Because a strong spirit keeps your faith. Amen? Strong spirit keeps you in faith, that he may dwell, reside, stay in, live. That one literally means live in you. Live in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded. And then he immediately starts talking about love. Why? Because, and it's not, you know, everybody wants to know how much God loves them. You know what? God loves you a whole bunch. He loves you so much that he wants you to do it for others. He wants you to see that love and be that love. Amen? And so when your hearts are rooted and grounded in love, what's he saying? I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to be rooted and grounded. I want you to be knowing about this love. I want you to know how great it is. I want you to know its ability, the ability it had to save you, to heal you, to bring you out, to take you to new levels. I want you to know everything this love has done for you. It saved you. It took you from darkness into light. It took you from death unto life. This is the love you should be grounded in. This is the love that saved you. And you need to be rooted and grounded in this love. And then he goes on. He says, so that you may be able. Why does he want you to be rooted and grounded in love? Because he wants us to comprehend together. He doesn't just want us to comprehend. He wants me, you, and all the saints to comprehend. That's where we've been missing it. I'm comprehending it, and you're comprehending this. And we need to comprehend the love of God. We need to comprehend how great it is, how tall it is, how deep it is, how high it is. We need to comprehend the incomprehensible. Literally, but we need to do it together. I need to realize that that same love that I'm comprehending, you're comprehending, and we're beginning to use it as one. Because unity in the body is not me and you doing the same thing. It's me and you accomplishing the same thing together. My job may be different than your job, but when you're doing your job in unity with my job, then somebody else is doing it in unity with their job. And everything we're doing in unity. Amen? I'm not trying to do what Ben does in the church. Why? Because I can't, and I don't like it. Right? Actually, some of it's kind of fun. But 2 hours without me, 6 hours with me. Can I help you, Ben? Yeah, but it'll take 6 hours if you help. But in the body of Christ, that's what he's saying. He's saying, you do, be worthy of your vocation. You do what I've called you to do. Do it with the equipment I've given you. Everybody's still doing it with the same equipment, but you're doing what you're called to do. Amen? And if you do what you're called to do in unity with me doing what I'm called to do, and we're all out there doing what we're called to do with the God-given ability that we have in Christ, then we're accomplishing so much more than we are sitting in these seats right here. Why? Because we walk out those doors in the same love that we all felt while we were sitting in the seats. I just love these people. Sure you do. They love you. That's the easy love. Right? It's kind of like faith. When I was 30, it was so easy to believe I would feel good every day. You know, my faith was so strong that I was going to wake up and be strong. And man, I'm going to live to be 120, and I'm going to do everything I want to do all the days of my life because I feel good. My faith has to be a little stronger now, 30 some years later. Amen? Why? Because I wasn't really using faith right then. Because why? I didn't feel bad. I didn't wake up with a pain here or there. Right? That's what people want to do with love. It's easy to love when somebody's loving you back. Somebody's talking nice about you. Oh, I love you so much. They're so great. Isn't everything wonderful? Unicorns and rainbows. You have not loved until you love somebody not loving you back. Somebody doing everything contrary to the Word of God. Somebody pushing back on everything you say. And if you can get offended in church, how easy is it going to be to get offended out there? Man, all you got to do is turn your TV on for 2 seconds and get to the wrong channel. Right? You know, I was at the Southwest Believers this past week, so I didn't see much TV, which was good. I noticed how nice that was. You know, there was hardly anything to get mad about. I didn't listen to one news story. I don't know. I have no idea what's happening in the world today. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Why? Because you know what? It doesn't really matter what happens. One day I'm going to leave this place and go to heaven. And while I'm here, no matter what's going on, no matter how many things are happening in the government and other nations and wars and rumors of wars and all that, when the end all comes, actually, before the end all comes, I'm going to experience the goodness of God right here, right now, and then I'm going to experience the goodness of God when I leave here. So I notice that watching the news doesn't help me walk in love, right? If we don't do things that help us walk in love and walk in the gifts of God, the gifts of God or not to be angry and sin. The gifts of God are not to be bitter and angry and talk bad about people. The gifts of God, He's given you words. Think about this. Through the Holy Spirit, God will give you words that can take somebody from as low as they've ever been and in a matter of minutes bring them to the highest place they've ever seen. Why? Because anointed words coming through you from God. Right? What an amazing thing for us to have that in us. What a more amazing thing is why we wouldn't use that every chance we get. Why would we choose to tear someone down or just not to speak at all You know, some people just say, I don't want to say, they might get the big head. No, you need to build them up. We're here to encourage one another, to love one another, because as we love one another, we become this big old family of love, and we walk out these doors still loving one another, and people say, they know Jesus. Those are his disciples. Who are those people? Those are Jesus' disciples. Those are Jesus' people. You know, it's kind of like when I said raise your hand. How many people saw some of the meetings in the last 4 weeks? Brazil or UK or us? You guys are a bunch of Jesus freaks. Oh, yes. Keep being Jesus freaks. When you walk out these doors, be just as big a Jesus freak as you were when you were in this church. You know, we don't need the fake stuff. We need the real stuff. Love that lasts, not love that says something to pacify. That's not love. Love says stuff that fixes. Amen? Where were we at? In Ephesians? Ephesians 3? And so he wants us to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth. How big? And he doesn't want you just to comprehend this yourself. That's what he's saying. I want you to be together. I want you to talk about these things. You can't comprehend this with all the saints if you're not talking about it. It's hard to comprehend and talk about it if you're not in church, right? You know, there's things you will never receive if you're not in church, right? And it won't be out of the Word, because you can still listen to the Word online. You can get it. You can watch it later. You can, man, I saw that. Man, you should have saw it when we were here before service. I got to hug people. That was great. It was awesome. Yeah. Man, I shook some hands, and I heard five or six good testimonies. People just come to me. That was before service. Boy, and after service, what's that? That's after the cameras are off, before the cameras are on. Right? That's when the love happened. That's when the fellowship, when the love your brother with all your heart came in. Right? And, you know, some of it, there's the churchy answers. How are you doing? Blessed and highly favored. You know, you can be blessed and highly favored and claim it. But make sure that's what you wanted to say in your heart. Amen? Sometimes people walk in and say, how you doing? They say, okay. I say, glory to God, it'll get better. Yes. Why? Well, okay is okay. It's not good enough. God didn't save you so you'd be okay. Yeah. Right? He saved you so you'd be the okayest person in the universe. Yeah. Right? How okay you want to be? I want to be the okayest. Huh? I want to be so okay, people look at me and say, can you stop being so okay? Because you okayed me out of this place. Glory to God. He wants us to comprehend these things together. He wants me to be loving you so much and you loving me so much that nothing else that could come between us has any place. There can be no divisions. There can be no disunity, if you will. The thing is when we let little things in, you say, I don't like the way he wore his suit today. Stop that. Immediately, no, that's your flesh. You should never care what I wear or you wear. Don't get me wrong. Don't dress like a bum if you can't have to, but do your best. But at the same time, if what I'm wearing is what's keeping you from loving me, that wasn't much. No. That's way too easy. And the devil's had too easy of a time getting us out of love with each other. Yeah. And we can't keep letting him do that. Amen. We need to start recognizing that. I don't care if you walk in a bad mood, and because you're in a bad mood, why do you see wrong? Bad mood causes good blindness. You can't see good. You can only see bad. When you're in a bad mood, oh, look how happy they are. They're probably going on vacation next week. I hate people that go on vacation. You're just jealous because you ain't going on vacation. How do I know that? Right? You guys quit taking all your vacations. No. Tired of it. Tired of you happy people doing your jobs with excellence. I don't want all that. Okay, I want people to leave me alone, let me be in a bad mood. No, you don't. You want somebody to come love you and build you up with their words. And God put it in us to do that. Every day, somebody could come to you and build you up. The church should call me. Church ain't going to call you. That's why you go to church, because you have a community. Somebody from the church may call you, right? One of the people you loved on, right? You loved on them. They're loving on you. And because of that love, you have a relationship and your community. You know, faith life classes, faith for life classes, you get a community. Teams, you get a community. We need a community. You can't get a community at your house. You'll have some people you know. And I know there's places where there's not a faith life church. And people say, well, but, you know, there's not a church like this. Go to a church that's there. And when you go there, you can start infecting it. Right? When Faith Life Church wasn't here, did you guys go to church? Huh? Did anybody not go to church when Faith Life Church wasn't here? So you went to church, right? Before this was a church. Which tells me there's always a place for everybody. It doesn't have... I listened to Brother Moore well before this church existed. And I was being fed by Brother Moore way before this church existed. And by God through Brother Moore. And I went to a church where I went in there and I said, man, God's good. And they said, huh? What? God's what? And then he started telling him how good he was. All of a sudden you saw them start getting excited. Especially the teens. I worked with the youth. They just believed you. Right? Until the parents said, oh, don't listen to him. God's only good when he wants to be. He'll smite you. He'll do all those things, and there's nothing you can do about it, because when God gets angry, No. And you start telling them God's good. You start telling people with that conviction and the love you have for them how good God is, it will change their life. And they will be drawn to it because it's truth that makes free. It's truth that abides. Amen? It's truth that remains. It's truth that you can give somebody that will cause change in their life, that will never let them be the same again. Even if they try to think the same way, that will come up again. And they'll say, well, wait. Now that weird guy said God's good. Right? Now, you know what? If we could just get that and never let go of it, God's good. And if something bad happens, you don't understand it, and all these questions start coming. I was talking to Brother Moore about it, and he actually talked about a little bit about it in Southwest. People questioning. And you get a question, and you don't have an answer, that's probably not God, right? God rarely questions himself, right? So if you're asking questions about God, it's probably not him giving you the question, right? It's probably, now, if you're wanting knowledge of something, that's one thing. But if you're questioning why, then you're going to get in a place where you can't get an answer. Because why? Because you're not, that's an evil question, right? You need to say, wait, God's good. You need to be like David in Psalm 42, 41. So you need to straighten up, because I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. You need to talk to yourself just a minute. But if you have a community, they'll talk to you too. Oh, don't you remember when he healed you? Don't you remember when we were in class and that guy gave his testimony? Don't you remember when we heard that word and we were all shouting about it? And the next thing you know what? You're being edified. You're being built up. You're getting in a place where now you can receive. And now you can give. And we got to stay in that place. Even today, if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I need more people to love me, you're listening wrong. Go back to the other side and listen to somebody who loves, not somebody who needs to be loved. Right? You don't need to be loved. I love you. There you go. You don't need to be loved anymore. Now you need to love. Glory to God. But there's so many things. Just go through the Bible and look how many times Paul talks about loving the brethren, loving each other, loving one another. It was Jesus' number one command. He said, the same way I loved you. What's he saying? I loved you the way God showed me to love you. I loved you with everything in God's heart. I want you to love people with everything that God put in my heart. Love them that way. What's he saying? I want you to love them without limits. I want you to love them when you don't feel like loving them. I want you to love them when they don't feel like being loved. Remember I talked about my mom last time I spoke? She hugged you until you hugged her back. And it wasn't like, okay, no. Till love was in the hug, you were going to get held on to until you loved her back. Not just hugged her back, loved her back. Why? Because she's trying to bring that love up in you. Because love is what changes things in you. It's what changes things through you. It's what changes things around you. It's what makes your faith work. Without love, your faith is nothing. It's got nothing to believe. Amen? And we've got to keep that. We've got to keep that fervor. In fact, as go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Thank you, Lord. He's helping us. Whew. Glory to God. 1 Peter 1. How many new men, new creatures I got in here? You have all the standard equipment that it takes to walk in love every day. Now, that's the last thing the car dealer would say about that model. He'd say, and this baby will walk in love. This baby right here, you get in it, it'll walk in love all day long, all night long. It'll walk in love every day. You don't have to worry about it breaking down on you. That love is eternal and forever. It will never quit on you. This baby will walk in love. Glory to God. That's what we want. That's what we want to know. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter, what did I say? 1 Peter 1, 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying, attentive hearkening, obeying, attentive listening, desiring to know what you're getting ready to hear. Right? Why? Because you're going to do it. Attentive listening and then submitting. Obeying is first you got to hear it. And then you do it. You submit to it. You know, how hard is it to submit to love? We've made it difficult, right? Because we say things like, well, you just don't know. Well, you just don't know what they did should be not in our vocabulary. Right. What if Jesus said, well, I saved everybody, but you just don't know what they did, Lord. No. See, Jesus didn't do that. No. There was nobody where he said, well, you just don't know. Right. Why? Because love doesn't do that. It doesn't. The faith of God doesn't do that. The faith of God was so strong that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to save us regardless of what we had done, of regardless of who we had been. And then he gave us the ability. He said, purify, cleanse yourself, obey the truth, obey what I've said, obey the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. It says you've obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. This isn't the fake stuff. How many know in the world, all you hear now, I love that. I love them. Are you saved? No, but I love them. If you're not saved, you don't know what love is. Love in the world has end. It ends the minute you don't do what it likes.
Right?
Right? Right? That's what happens. Maybe I won't go there. We'll stay away from that one. The Lord will tell you the rest. Amen. Feigned love, fake love, unreal love, love without substance, love without the Spirit of God is not love. And it won't follow through on the asks of God. The things God asks you to do, you can't do them with fake love. If you try to do them with fake love, you will fail. Because if you're going to do them through God, you're going to do them through obedience and submission to His love, to His mercy, to His grace. You're going to do them seeing things the way He sees it. You're not going to say, oh, God, not them. I can pray for anybody else in the church, but they talk bad about me, Lord. You don't know. What? Anytime you find yourself saying you don't know to the Lord, you might want to back up. He know everything. He just sees different than you see. The person talking bad about you is the perfect opportunity to use love. You haven't used it until you did that. Right? The person that was kind to you, I love you too. They're kind to you. How hard's that? It's like asking my wife how the service went. Oh, it was so good, baby. Of course it is. She's my wife. Biggest cheerleader. But she does love me. Unfeigned love. That's what we're doing. Unfeigned faith. Unfeigned love. Things that are real. Things that make a difference. And things that are forever. See that you have, says you've obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart. What's he saying? Because you did this, now you can do this. Because you've submitted to and obeyed the truth about unfeigned love, now use that unfeigned love and love your brother. Use your unfeigned love and love your brother. People say, well, I thought you just said anybody can do that. Obviously, there's things going on in the church that aren't love, right? Right? Not after today, right? Everybody in here loves and acts in love and reacts in love towards one another. There are no schisms in this body.
That's right?
Because schisms, bad disease. You don't want schisms, right? No schisms. If you don't have schisms, you have the love of God. Amen? See that you love one another with pure heart, fervently. Don't have ulterior motives, and do it with all your heart. Amen? Why? Because being born again of what? Not corruptible seed. What's he saying? Because you were born again, you have the incorruptible seed. You have everlasting love, everlasting faith, everlasting joy, everlasting peace. Everything you have in you cannot be fought against. There's no weapon against it. Why? It can't be beaten. It's incorruptible. It can't die. It only gains life. And as we love and abide with one another and love one another, it gains more and more life. And the bigger we get in love, the more we understand and comprehend the breadth, length, height, depth of that love together, the more we accomplish as a body of Christ. We start getting testimonies about the whole church instead of about that one person. Yeah, that church, man, they did this and they did that, and the people of that church, and I went to this class and I went and did this, and I met this person here and they told me about this church. And you start getting the body of Christ one, and we begin to love people as one. We begin to love people, and so they walk in the door and I loved them, and then all of a sudden they got in the door, somebody else loved them. Right? And I'm not saying you hugged them, you didn't invite them to dinner. You just told them you were glad they were here, and you didn't. It wasn't feigned. It was real. And you said, man, it is so good to see you. And they felt it. They knew it was right. Why? Because it was the love of God. It was true, and it was incorruptible. And so no matter what they got here, it's still going home with them. Why? Because it's incorruptible. What you gave them is forever. Don't take it back, right? That's what offense tries to do. It's right. Say, they didn't get it. No, they got it. I loved them, and it's going to go with them everywhere they are. They'll see that light in the daytime. They'll see it in the nighttime. They won't be able to get away from it. Amen? And these are the things that we do. These are the things that we can do that cause that. It creates a place for that love to come up and grow and become better at it. And one of the first things, you got to remain tenderhearted. You cannot let your heart get hard. If your heart gets hard, look at this verse. First Peter, again, for chapter 3. And we're about to close. It says, finally, be you all of one mind. What's he saying? He said, and I want you to care about each other. He's talking, he's not, these books are written to the church. You know, sometimes we read the Bible like it's written to us. It is, and you and everybody else. It's written to the body of Christ. And so what he's saying is saying, I want you to care about one another. I want you to have compassion of one another. I want you to love like brothers. Now, I don't know about your family, but it's something you can fix if you didn't. But my brothers, my sister, didn't matter how bad we fought, 5 minutes later, we were fixed. Why? Because I loved them like my brother. They were always going to be my brother. What's he saying? They're always going to be your brother. Love them like they will. They're always going to be your family. Love them like they will. You're not going to get away from them. Right? You see people that are estranged from their family. But guess what? They're still your family. God would use you to fix it. Well, you just don't know. No, I don't, but God does. Thank you, Lord. We'll stay away from that. Thank you, Lord. Love as brethren, not rendering evil for evil. See, these are the things that you now have the ability to do. You didn't used to have the ability. Somebody did something mean to you, you did something mean right back. Right? Even if you did something nice, you did it so it would make them mad. Right? Right? I'm gonna be so nice to them, they'll hate me. That's the flesh. That's what it does. It has the wrong motive. It even takes that verse where it says they'll pour hot coals on his head. They think, yeah, I want to burn them up. No, that's not what that means. It means it'll warm their heart. It'll give them an opportunity to grow and come in. Right? Evil for eye for an eye is what it says. No. Jesus said, you heard it said, an eye for an eye. But I say, what's he saying? He's saying, I'm the vine. Soak up some of this. Produce this fruit. Bring this fruit into being. Come back with the love and the kindness. Come back with the compassion. Care for one another. If you practice caring for people who care for you, it'll be much easier to care for those who don't care for you. Amen? Glory to God. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. What's he saying? Bless somebody right next to you. Right? It doesn't mean you got to give money. Say, man, I'm so glad I sat by you today. This was awesome. It was just good to be in church with you today. Right? We should. When we leave here today, we should. Man, I can't wait to see you again. Why? Because it's family. You're going to separate for a while, and that's still your family. And you love them. And when you leave, you still think about them. And when you think about them, you call them. Right? People say, you just call them and you think about them? I do, because if I don't, I'll think about something else and I'll forget what I thought about. So I just call them. Right? I've forgotten to call people, and they call me like 2 days later. I'm like, man, God, okay, I'll talk to them. Right? That's God saying, I told you to call them. They were listening better than you, so I had them call you. Why do we call them? Because that's how we build one another up. Right? Well, you're both having a good day. Well, that's the best time to build one another up. You know, I've called my brother Rick where we're both having a good day, and by the time we're done, we're shouting. We were talking when we started. We're shouting when we quit. I was talking to Brother Moore yesterday. He made me so happy. I was crying in the car. Why? And the anointing. The anointing. The love of God is an anointed love. It's a love with purpose. It's a love with action. It's not a word. It's a deed. Every time I say I love you, I'm not just giving you a word. I'm telling you, I want you to know that I care about you. I care about your life. I care about what happens to you. I care about what you're going through. I care about what God wants to do in you and through you. I care about you. Amen? That's the love of God. Amen? And so what do? We remain tenderhearted. You can't have a hard heart and do these things. So number one, you remain tenderhearted. Number two, who do we consider? If you're spending all your time considering yourself, right? God, when are you going to do this for me? When's this going to happen? God, I prayed for this. I asked for that. Who are you considering? You. You're all your time. If we'll let the flesh, it will make sure we consider ourselves all day long. It will. I mean, think about sickness itself. It's the most selfish thing you can ever do. When you're sick, you don't. If you get sick enough, you don't care about anybody else around you. Yeah. Right? That's the best time to walk in love and to use the gifts that God put in you are when you don't feel like it. Because it not only will help the person you're talking to, it'll help you. If you'll use them in love, if you'll yield to that, submit to that truth, the spirit, the unfeigned spirit of love, then he'll work through you and he'll help the person you're talking to and he'll fix you while you're doing it. Why? Because you got off of you for a minute. Right? He couldn't save you while you were drowning because you were kicking and screaming too much. He needed you to stop so he could drag you out of the water. Right? Thank you, Lord. So who do we consider? It says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another. What should we be doing when we're quiet? When we're talking to God? Should we say, we should be thinking about our list? Should we have our list out? Saying, well, God, I got this on my list, and this is on my list. No, we should be considering one another. Lord, how could I provoke them? How could I stir them up? Lord, is there something you'd have me do? Should I give them a 20? Should I give them a 100? Should I give them a big hug? Should I just call them and remind them how much you love them? What can I do, Lord? And what am I doing? I'm considering someone else. And I got my mind off of me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right, his way of doing things. Seek how God will do things. When you're talking to God, he'll probably say, you know, you wanted this. I'm going to take care of that for you. Well, you're saying, I wasn't even going to bring that up, God. I know, but I wanted to bring it up. Why? Because he wants to hear. He wants to talk, but he wants to just talk to you. And sometimes he wants to tell you about people that are in your community that he wants you to get closer with, that he wants you to become a faith buddy with, that he wants you to call them and say, you know, I just thought of you today and I just wanted to tell you I loved you and you're awesome. All right? I mean, that's standard. That's standard for me in a week. I'll call people and I'll just leave them. If they don't answer, I'll just leave a message on the phone. I just wanted to remind you that you're awesome and I love you. Right? That's, you know, if God prompts it, I believe that's anointed. Amen. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. What's he saying? I want you to cause them to think about what they were thinking about and bring them back to the love that they need to think about. And then when they think about love, they can do good works. Right? Because you can't do good works outside of love. But once we provoke you unto love, then we're going to provoke you under some good works. Why? Because that's what love does. It provokes you to do good things. Amen. Real love, the love of God, will always provoke you to stir you up to do something greater than you could do, to be something greater than you were, and to go further than you ever thought you could go. Amen? Because that's what the love of God does. He makes you a new creature. He makes you better than you were before. He makes you the bestest that you ever have been. Amen? Glory to God. The other thing we do, we stir each other up. Oh, by the way, I'll read the rest of that verse that we just talked about. Consider the good works. And then it says, not, everybody say this with me, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You need to be part of a community. You need to be part of somebody else, something else, doing more than you. And you know what? People say, you mean I got to go to church? You don't got to go to church. You get to go to church. But you know what? If you don't find you a Bible study, find you something where you have a community around you of people that love you, care about you, want to know what's happening with you, and you care about them equally. The same love. The same love they're loving you with, you're loving them with. And find that place. If you live somewhere where it seems dry, find a dry place and wet it down. Wet it down. Amen? We went to the Baptist church. God said, go to your church here. And I go, why? Because your mom wants you to, and I need to be good. That's really why he told us to go, because our mom wanted us to go there. I'm like, huh, okay. And when we went to that church, it was a good church. When we left that church, there were believers there. There was a change, and I made connections. I'm still a part of community from that church. Why? Because there's still people that love me and I love them back. And the connection's eternal. In this body right here, there's every connection we have should be eternal. So that if somebody leaves, we notice it being pulled away from us. Why? Because they were connected to us. They were abiding in the same vine we were abiding with, doing the same things we were doing. And we don't want to see them go. Now, if God called them away, that's awesome, and we'll miss them, and we'll bless them. But if God didn't call them away, we should never, ever disconnect from them. Ever. Amen? I'm not going to. If I have it, if God reminds me and says call them, I'm calling them. I don't care if they ain't been to church in 30 years. Oh, we haven't been here 30 years, have we? I don't care if they haven't been to church in 3 years. If God stirs me up, I'm going to do it. Amen? And I shouldn't. And I know you guys are doing the same thing, and I'm thankful for that. But we want to get greater in these areas because this is how we show the world how good our God is. This is how we show them. Amen? Stir them up. It says, but exhort one another, stir each other up daily. How often do people need to be stirred up? Daily. Right? There's going to be some point in your day that you're going to need to be stirred up. Either somebody will call you and stir you up, or you can stir yourself up, but you need to get stirred up. If you don't get stirred up, you'll get stirred down. Right? You'll go backwards. How many have experienced that? I mean, literally, you let it become mundane, where I'm going to church, sit in the seat, four songs, and you come up, you know, and then, oh, about to go.
God, glory to God.
Well, you had to put your feigned love back on so you could walk out. Why? Because you let your tender heart go. You let yourself become flat and unstirred. And you allowed the enemy to take you to places where you were no good to the body of Christ, let alone good to the people who didn't know him. You got to become good to the body before you can become good to anybody else. Amen? Why? Because you got to be part of us. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Exhort one another daily, lest you become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Why? But why do we want to exhort people and be exhorted daily? Because we don't want to be hardened. Hardening separates us from God and puts us in a sin category. We don't want to be there. Amen? And the last thing, the one of the biggest things we can do, put up Jude 20 through 23. Put it up in the Amplified Classic. Jude 20 through 23. And this is how you can help yourself right here. It says, but beloved, build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice. Does anybody know what an edifice is? I don't. I was just asking you guys. I have no idea. But you want to rise like one, higher and higher. All right? You know, sometimes amplifies stuff so far, you just you're like, okay, God, that's not in the Strong's. You have to type in on Google, define edifice. Higher and higher. How are you going to do this? How are you going to build yourself up? Praying in the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do? Spending time with God, praying in the Holy Spirit. What does that do? It keeps you tenderhearted. It keeps you compassionate. And what's it do most of? Next verse. Guards you and keeps you in the love of God. That's what you want to do. You want to walk out. That's why it's good to pray in the Spirit before you get out of bed. Why? Because you're getting ready to get out of bed. And you could be you. Right? Or you could be you and him. Right? I want to wake up in him. Sometimes I don't want to wake up, and so it makes me want to be me because I don't want to wake up. Right? What's that? It's a lazy. Right? But I want to get out of bed, and I want to be in him when I get out of bed. I want to get halfway through my day and say, Lord, I haven't spent 1 minute in you today, have I? And he goes, no, you haven't. He said, I've been over here loving people. You've been out here talking bad, judging, doing everything but loving them. Yelled at 3 drivers on the way here. Didn't like the way that looked. Didn't like that. He said, when you start acting that way, catch yourself. Grab yourself by the ear. Come on. Stop this. What? Stop for a minute. Go somewhere quiet. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I got out of love. I was not guarding, keeping from loss that love you gave me. And keep that love. And as we keep that love, then we'll use that love and we'll walk in that love. And as we walk in that love, we'll change each other's lives so that we can change others. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. He helped us today. I'm thankful. I am so thankful. You know, he shows me a lot in faith and love, and probably because I've needed a lot in faith and love. But I think the body of Christ could operate at such a greater level in that love. Even sometimes just watching what we say, not necessarily how we say it, because sometimes it's just something that shouldn't be said. And we have to get closer to God. You have to pray in the Spirit, keeping yourself in that love so that you can be stopped as well as started. Right? Because the Spirit will stop you and He'll start you. But you got to be in Him. Amen? You got a song, Susan?
Oh, I love you.
Died and rose again so we could be a part of this great family, so that we could have all these gifts and benefits operating in us and through us. And if you don't know Him today, you want to know Him. If you're watching online, I hope you didn't get offended. I don't want you to get offended. I just want you to go to church and get a community. I want you to have a community of believers, of people who love you around you. And so please watch the broadcast. I listened to Brother Moore hours and hours while I went to another church. And I taught what he taught me in the church. They like to hear about the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord. But if you're online and you're watching, you never confessed Jesus as Lord. If you're here in the building, in either building, at either location, this church has two locations. And if you don't know Jesus, we're going to pray a prayer today. And you can know Him. You can begin to understand the knowledge of His love today. So everybody raise a hand towards heaven. Close your eyes. Pray this prayer with me. If you've never prayed it before or you haven't prayed it in a long time, pray it with me and pray it out loud. Father God, I believe in You. I know You love me. I believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, that He died on a cross, and that You raised Him from the dead, and He paid the full price for all my sins. Father, save me, come into my life, and give me Your love, Your character. Make me a new creature. Jesus, I confess You, Lord of my life, and as You fill me, as You build me, I will serve You from this day forward, and I will love. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Altar care workers, come forward. Well, it's a good day. It's a good day. We're gonna go up higher. We're gonna go. You know, with Mrs. Moore speaking on the Holy Spirit and giving her heart last week, it was so good. And the reason she did that is because she loves you with the love of the Lord. She loves me. She loves us. Our pastors love us. And when he prepares something, it's not, you know, somebody asked me about something he said the other day. I said, well, I don't know. I'll see if I can find out. But I can tell you this. He didn't say it until he knew it was right. Until